What's up? It's Delaney, and I'd love to invite you to become an honorary co-host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Do you want to pick episode topics and guests? Done. Want to surprise your loved ones with shout-outs on the show for a birthday, project launch, a much-needed divorce? Whatever you're up to, would love to be a part of the celebration. Get your favorite and least favorite quotes featured on the podcast, submit questions for our special guests, and find lots more new features and surprises at patreon.com/selfhelpless. You'll also get added to our Patreon Insider email list to easily redeem rewards via a quick email reply. Because we know hanging out on Patreon isn't everyone's thing. You can also opt out of emails if you prefer to be a silent supporter of the show. And don't worry, we do not Scrooge McDuck these contributions. 100% of proceeds go directly to operating expenses that make this weekly podcast possible and available to all. Learn more at patreon.com/selfhelpless or simply click the link in this episode's description. Thank you for helping me fill the void of being the last standing host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Thank you so much.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Self-Helpless. I'm Taylor Tomlinson.
I'm Delaney Fisher.
And I'm Kelsey Cook.
And today's episode is going to be a little bit of a reflection on just everything that's going on. We are obviously doing a lot of work on ourselves right now and, you know, taking stock and we want to not rush, you know, to do an episode on books we're reading. And the book we're all reading right now is White Fragility by Robin DiAngelo, which if you guys have not read that and you are also privileged white girls, I would highly recommend it. We're all, you know, getting a lot and have gotten a lot out of it. And we want to like take the time to digest it obviously and like listen to other people and just do it the right way is what we're attempting to accomplish. While also making a lot of mistakes in the process. So, I also bought, so you want to talk about race. You know, we've talked about it on our last mini episode that we're all listening to new podcasts or new episodes of old podcasts we love where people are addressing these things. And like, it's, you know, it's a lot. And I would encourage anybody who's like in the same place as us not to get like burnt out and to just keep growing and learning and being active.
Oh, I was going to say, you know, it's a marathon, not a sprint. And I think we all need to try to make sure we're doing the work we can every day while also taking care of ourselves, because if we're not taking care of ourselves, then we can't do the work. So right. We have to, you know, keep that in mind. And we want to really encourage you guys to not only read White Fragility so that you can educate yourselves in that way, but so that you can kind of, we can have like a book club vibe with the podcast for that episode where you guys have read it with us. And we'd love for you to write in to us at selfhelplesspodcast@gmail.com and maybe let us know things that really stood out to you, big lessons you learned from reading the book, just anything. So maybe we can kind of all come together in that episode and have read a book together now that you guys know what's coming up.
Yeah, basically what's happening is that all of us are almost done with the book and we thought about putting out an episode about it as soon as possible, but we realized that this work is really deep. It needs breathing room. It needs reflection. We need time to think about our past actions so we can better speak about that on the episode. And so we do plan on doing an episode about white fragility in the near future. And it would be amazing if our white audience reads this book and we are all doing this work together. And it feels, yeah, like a collective book club experience where we're, you know, we're talking about the realizations we've had and the moments. You know, I plan to reveal a lot of stuff that is not going to paint me in a good light. And I think that's really important for everybody to do, to admit that we have done things and said things and thought things that were contributing to a really big problem. And yeah, I think it would be fantastic if you read this book and you write into us, selfhelplesspodcast@gmail.com, to talk about those instances if you want. And let us know if you want to be, you know, we would love to be able to share those types of things, those moments on the show. If you're comfortable with it, we can keep you anonymous or we can use your first name. But really, basically, we're all in this together. We are not leaders of this work in any way. We are students. We are not going to be giving you advice on any of this. We don't know. We don't know enough. We are not experts. We are listening to the people who are experts. And we have amazing guests coming up. We do have racial justice educators coming up on the show that are gracing us with their presence. They absolutely don't have to be doing it. And, but because they are very busy, understandably, and getting a lot of offers to be on different shows, it's going to be a little while. We have to respect their time and their deadlines and stuff, but we wanted to address this before we have somebody on the show, because it is going to be a little while and we don't want anybody to think that we are, you know, stepping away from this conversation or not addressing it. So we just want to let you know that those episodes are coming. Those guests are coming. We are very much looking forward to listening to them and hearing what they have to say. We're going to be taking their courses. There's a lot that's going to be happening. So you're also going to maybe see a handful of episodes coming out recently and in the near future that were episodes that were pre-recorded from several months ago, basically. So if it sounds like our guests that we might have are not addressing this, you know, human rights movement, basically, it's because they were recorded a while ago, because we know that the guests that we've had on would have absolutely discussed this supported you know, Black voices and Black lives. So just a heads up on that.
Yeah,
just want to be transparent that if it feels like some of these episodes feel a bit out of place, we do have some in the bank.
Basically.
Yeah, we have one that we recorded with Whitney Cummings a while ago that'll be coming out. And if you don't already listen to her podcast, good for you. She's been doing a really good job having great guests on and listening. So if you haven't heard like Amber Riley that just came out or Donnell Rawlings, like, those are great episodes to listen to.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, do you guys want to get into what we're going to talk about today? We have a quotable, right? Tay, do you want to read the quotable?
Yes, I do. Is it something I saw on Instagram? It is.
Yeah.
This is, I'm, could I be any more basic? But I do think this is good and on topic. This is somebody that I follow posted this from somebody I don't follow, who's at Iris McAlpin. It says, the more tightly we cling to our identity as a good person, the more skilled we become at rationalizing our behavior, and the less available we are to examine the ways that we cause harm.
Ooh. So I mean, good. That's so true. White fragility in a sentence, really. Yeah. I mean,
it really is.
Yeah. It'll be a lot that episode to examine when we do that book review, but
so
yeah.
So much to examine. So much to unpack. Nobody wants to believe that they're part of something really, really cruel. Nobody wants to believe that.
Yeah. So. I talk with my therapist has brought up several times the term shadow self. Do you guys like ever talk about that in therapy or know about that much? Mm-mm. Well, again, like the three of us are such perfectionists and so type A, I feel like always trying to do our best. Yes. But sometimes we need to like learn to get comfortable and familiar with our shadow self, which is like are all the things about us that are not very savory. Mm-hmm. Savory seems like a weird word to use there, because now I'm thinking of like salted meats, but
you know what
I mean.
Yeah.
Salted vegan meats.
Yeah, that there are parts of me that can be unsavory. And rather than trying to like constantly push those away and be in denial that you have character traits that are not considered great, to become more familiar with them so that you can work on them. But I think with perfectionists, it feels more comfortable to try and like be in denial of it and turn a blind eye and be like, no, I'm doing great. Everything's going to be great. Like,
yeah.
Cause it's uncomfortable to look at those icky parts of yourself. Like in the name book, right? It was like, it listed three of like your top qualities and three bad things. And especially if they resonate with you, like the ones in there totally resonate with me. And I'm like, ugh, like, fuck you. Like, I don't want to think about that because they're true. Like those three things they said, I don't even remember what mine are, but they're very true.
Yeah. I think, as a perfectionist and a people pleaser, sometimes the desire to be liked can really cloud my judgment with doing what's right instead. And, you know, we're talking about a lot of stuff that's going on, in the world and the community that, you know, we're all tied to. And I'm guilty of that 100%.
Yeah.
I'm guilty of staying silent about stuff. I'm guilty of trying to be part of the group. And I fucking don't want to do that anymore, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Delaney, you are the true hero here because you quit the business, which is what I've wanted to do the last couple days. There's obviously a lot coming out about one specific comedian, but it's, you know, now there's all these other accusations about who knew or what have you. And like, the fact of the matter is, like, the comedy community is like very, it's small, but it's also big, and there's, you know, different scenes. There's a club scene and there's an alt scene, and, you know, everybody knows of each other, but not everyone knows each other personally. And it is really upsetting that news like this feels like it reflects on like the comedy community as a whole, because they are such prominent figures in the club scene primarily. Mm-hmm. Like the alt scene is like, yeah, fuck those guys. But yeah, that's been hard. Like I've been feeling burnt out from the business side, because we can't do stand up right now. I mean, we can, but not safely. And so it feels like the only parts of this job that are left right now are the parts that I don't love.
Mm. Oh yeah.
You know what I mean?
Or like, yeah, the things that make it worth it.
Yeah. It's like, you know, so it's, I mean, this is not the first time that a famous comedian has been outed as a monster. So it's, you know, it's hard not to get discouraged sometimes and just feel like, well, this is just kind of how it is. And
right.
You know, I don't know. I don't know if I'm making any sense. I'm still pretty upset. Yeah, it's just a lot. And it's also like my first reaction, I saw some people who were like, why are we even, you know, paying attention to this when there's like so much more going on? And I saw a lot of people coming back with like, you cannot say there are bigger fish to fry. I think Danny Fernandez posted that. Somebody tweeted it. It was like, you can't say there are bigger fish to fry to like victims of sexual abuse, because you know, there's other things going on in the world. Like, that's so fucked up. So
like, it's always the right time to talk about that.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. It's it's a bummer, man.
A lot of injustice. And you know, I left that career choice out of selfish reasons. I wasn't taking a stand.
No, you did.
You did.
History
against these twats.
You sniffed out the bullshit and said, "I will not stand for this." Coincidentally, my dick mug business is going very well. That has nothing to do with my decision.
I wish I fucking left that way with a freaking mic drop. Like, you bitches, let's drain the swamp. Bye. But I left for very selfish reasons. I wasn't happy. But there are people doing terrible things in every profession, every industry, every yes. part of the world. In every way we can, that we know is happening. And, you guys just gotta, you know, Taylor, the way that you're feeling specifically right now, you just gotta remember why you started this. You absolutely love it. You're amazing at it. Not everybody is doing terrible things in the comedy community. There's a lot of wonderful people,
True.
You guys included. So I hope it doesn't, diminish your love for the craft and spreading joy to people, because that's super right. important. And so I think this is also like, look, when you choose your comedy tribe or your friend group or whatever, be mindful about who they are, I guess.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that to put blame on other people. But I think you can get to know your friends pretty well and their character pretty well. And choose to surround yourself with those people that you think are doing their best. And I don't know.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard because there's always like collateral damage with stuff like this, because there's always people who are like, I had no idea that was going on. And it's like devastating for them as well.
Of course. Yeah,
friendships and,
business relationships. And it shakes up everything.
Dude, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. And this stuff, they get so good at hiding it it's a huge manipulation. So of course things have come out in the comedy community like, oh, I've been in a room with all these people and I would have never known that this is what they were up to. Sure. Maybe there was some other things I didn't like that was happening. But I didn't realize this other stuff. So.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Well, we wanted to talk a lot on this episode about like growth that we've had during these weird months of quarantine, and maybe some revelations we've had. What are some things that you guys have realized that maybe might be different for you forever going forward now from quarantine? Things that you didn't really expect. Have you guys thought of some things that might have been maybe different?
Fuck everything. No, I'm just kidding. You guys, go ahead. I have too many notes here, and I don't know if I can read any of them, but yeah. Taylor, do you want to start?
Oh my gosh, I mean, that's... Sure, I guess. I will. Yeah, I mean, I think all of us have, I mean, we said this on the last episode, none of us had been to a protest before. Like,
yeah.
I was not emailing my reps, you know, like sure, I was not calling.
Yeah.
Like I wasn't doing any of that. I was like, you know, I'd sign a petition when it went around and I would, you know, vote or whatever. Like I wasn't doing this work. I'm absolutely guilty of, you know, watching people in like things that resonate with me and not exposing myself more to like more diverse voices. Like you can just always be doing better in that way because entertainment is, you know, a lot of these executives are white guys or white women. And it's, you know, just the fact that I hadn't seen LA 92 or the James Baldwin documentary or 13th or like any of these other things, I hadn't read these books. Like I don't have any excuse for that. I mean, I need to read more in general, but like, I don't have any good excuse. Yeah. I don't have any good excuse for not being more involved and educating myself. Like I keep saying like, oh, nobody taught me this in school. It's like, you have had the internet since like second grade. You know what I mean? Sure. Like I really, you know, I've just learned, I think that I have to sit with discomfort instead of avoid it. And I was already kind of doing that in therapy beforehand, like working on my own stuff within like relationships, whether it be like insecurity or, you know, whatever, there's just a lot of things, or codependency. And it is hard as a perfectionist because you really are so hard on yourself that sitting in discomfort isn't just being uncomfortable. It's like, it feels like beating yourself up every day. But also sometimes you just need to do that. Sometimes you need to beat up on yourself so you change. Like most of the time, if you're going to make a big change, it's going to be uncomfortable. So on that front, that's how I feel about that. I think I'm reevaluating a lot about my place in this business and kind of like what I want to give my energy to and how I want to use my platform, I guess, now that I have one, how much space I should take up, what is worthy of my time, and maybe taking a step back and like not giving so much of myself to this job. I mean, Kelsey, you should probably talk next because I'm sure you feel similarly about like, I feel like I'm in a place now where I'm like, I wish I had been less personal.
Yeah.
You know, like I wish I hadn't felt like I had to put all of myself out there, put all of myself into this job, this business, because all of this can be taken away. Like stand up obviously has been non-existent the last few months. Do I think it's going to come back? Of course. I have to believe that. But it's also like, it's okay to imagine for yourself a different life or the possibility that you might have to pivot at some point. Like Delaney, you've been such a good example of that to me. Just, you know, in the time I've known you the last few years, because you stepped away from something that you felt like was this huge part of your identity. And that takes so much courage to go, this isn't making me happy, or this, a lot of times it's just like, this isn't possible for me to do anymore. Or, you know, oh, I just want to do it differently. And people will stay in jobs or relationships or what have you for years because they're so afraid of the discomfort of moving on and doing something different. So, and right now none of us have any choice. Like we have to pivot. Like,
right.
So, yeah, I mean, again, maybe this is all very rambly, but that's kind of where I've been
the last month is just looking at myself and going, wow, you have put all of your, like, your self-worth is dependent on this job. Mm. And when this job is gone, you have so much time. It's like when you're in a toxic relationship and you finally break up and you're like, oh my God, I have so much time to read. Like, that's how I kind of feel right now with like stand-up being gone. It's like, oh, I don't have anything to distract me from the fact that I have a lot of work to do on myself.
Right.
So that's, yeah.
I was going to ask you, when you say that you wish you hadn't been so personal, do you mean that you wish you hadn't invested so much of yourself into one thing in terms of like putting all of like your eggs in one basket, all of you into one thing? Or are you saying you wish you hadn't been so personal in terms of like being revealing in your act or vulnerable in your act? Or do you know what I'm asking?
Yes. I think it's both. Oh, okay. I think in my act, I don't feel that way. I think in my act, for the most part, I feel fine about everything I've said in my act, because my act I work on for months and months and months. But like social media, podcasting, like all these other things that we do to like keep the plates spinning.
Yes.
The like plates of relevancy.
Yeah.
We've like created this idea in our heads, which it's hard because it's kind of true. Like, you have to have social media in this business. Like, you just have to. But I do think that I have definitely put all of my eggs in one basket being this job. And it's scary to have that job be non-existent right now. And still, I'm still working on things. I'm still like developing other projects.
Yeah.
But that's the one thing that made me feel like myself and made me feel like I was worthwhile as a person. And to have it be taken away made me realize, like, oh, I need to have some other stuff. You know what I mean? Like,
totally.
Delaney, I remember you talking about this, about like missing weddings and graduations and what have you because you were doing stand up. Mm-hmm. That's kind of where I'm at, where I'm like, I need to be a person first and then a comedian.
Well, and even if stand-up hadn't been taken away, I feel like that's true just for the sake of like the longevity of your career and the creativity of like having a life gives you things to write about.
Yes.
You know, the whole, you talking about being personal in your act and stuff like that, I have spent some time in therapy recently talking about reevaluating how personal I like to be in my life and in my career on podcasts, because I'm somebody who's always really valued like vulnerability in performers and relatability. I know with being a comedian, like being relatable has always just been such a big thing of like, that's how you connect with people. And for me, I've always, you know, my this is not happening story on Comedy Central is about the first time I masturbated ending up in the emergency room. It's the most revealing, personal, like not holding anything back, because I love that connection of somebody coming up to me after a show and being like, oh my God, I'm so glad you said that. I stuck XYZ in my vagina and you made me feel so much more normal about it or whatever. And I've always been afraid to not be that way. I think I've made a big part of my identity that I'm somebody who's just like open book, vulnerable. But I'm realizing that there's also like a relatability in being private with certain parts of your life, because I think everybody wants to be private with like the things that are sacred to them, and that's okay. Like, and even if that wasn't a relatable thing, I think it's still okay. But it just was an interesting conversation with my therapist of like, you don't lose that like human factor of being a relatable, vulnerable person by deciding to like be more selective about what you share in your life. With that being said, long intro into that, but I wanted to let our listeners know that Kane and I are no longer together, but I have nothing but love and respect for him. And I know that you listeners have gotten to know him over the years, and he's been such an amazing guest on the podcast. And I know that some of you call yourselves helpster nerds if you love Self-Helpless and Kane's podcasts, well, actually, or Don't Take Bullshit from Fuckers. And I would love if you continue to support him. So that's me letting you listeners know something big about my life. That's obviously a hard thing to talk about after creating this like very public podcast, but I wanted to let you guys know. So now you know. Sorry.
Oh no.
Sorry, we can cut this out.
We can cut this out. It's okay.
Sorry, this is not my shit. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Anyway,
you're very cool. Sweet.
Love you. Love Kane. Love everybody.
Oh God, I'm so sorry. I don't know.
It's okay. We love you too, babe.
Oh my God.
I thought that was really well said.
What about me? Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Talking about, you know, identity and like, you know, shifting things. I was just like, Taylor mentioned kind of me stepping away from stand-up, which was like a huge part of my identity, and then, you know, getting into other stuff. And I still, when I was doing that, still to this point, like very much struggle with the identity thing. And I think the reason why, I poured so much energy into Dicks by Delaney, because I'm like, if I'm giving up the stand-up comedy identity, this has to fucking work. Mm. This has to work.
Yeah.
Mm. I have to have something weird, different, unique, special about me, or I feel like I'm going to disappear. You know what I mean? So yeah. I think, I don't know if I've really let that go. Honestly, Taylor, I'll be totally honest. Like, I don't think I've like, I think I'm like, well, let me just transfer to this other thing that I can talk about that's different.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not a stand-up comedian, but I paint penises on coffee mugs. You know what I mean? So
right.
I do think like that my ego was still very much involved and still is in so many ways. And to the point where I'm working more than I need to. I don't, there's things I could let go of, and I'm really struggling because of my identity. So I think for me, like the growth part is really like getting in touch with what do I actually want to be doing? What work is really important to me? And what am I keeping around for the wrong reasons? Whether that's business or personal stuff or how I spend my time or what I say or whatever. And so, yeah, that's a constant, you know, evolution really.
Yeah.
How well, have I you just guys... gave you some props pretty publicly, and you just
shat
all over that. So it's fine. I'm glad my hero is a fake. So
yeah, hard pass on your kind words. I don't need them. I don't want them.
They're the heroes in my must home. Fall. The heroes must crumble.
I'm like, Delaney gives me a lot of hope, and Delaney's like, no. Nah, I see your hope. and I smash it.
Look elsewhere. You know what an exercise I did with myself recently? I sat down and thought about, okay, what am I doing? Like, what is on my plate right now? What am I doing? If I were not on social media, what would I be doing? What am I doing purely to show people? And what am I doing because I actually fucking love it?
Right.
That was a big, shit. This next thing I'm going to say has been a wet dream of mine for quite some time. Taylor and Kelsey have gotten an earful about this. Cam has gotten an earful about this over the last maybe year or so, I would say. It is an absolute fantasy, wonderful dream of mine to be completely social media app free at some point. And that is what I'm working towards in a lot of ways. So I feel like I should just be honest about that. Because part of me is like, don't even mention it because then people won't follow you. And what if you change your mind? You know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, I'm saying this. This has been on my mind for so long. And so I've been slowly starting that process and easing into a lot of stuff. It started with a lot of restrictions on social media, which I've talked about on the podcast. I'm going to be deleting my Twitter account and my Facebook account and just using Instagram. And my goal is to basically transition to other platforms that make me feel like I'm taking care of myself. I know that a lot of my anxiety and stuff like that is connected to social media in a lot of ways. And I've noticed a significant difference in my mood and how I feel on the days that I'm not on there. I'm not going to be completely living off the grid or anything like that. I'm honestly just going to be transitioning the way kind of I show up digitally. I will be showing up on my blog. I will be showing up on my email list, and I will be being guests on other people's podcasts. Those three things I really, really enjoy. And I feel like when I use them, it's very intentional. And I'm giving the information I want to give without caring about what people think. And I think that's going to be more valuable for me, being honest and truthful, than being on social media in the way that I have been in a lot of ways. So, I will be using Instagram indefinitely, but only that platform. And I will be transitioning Dix by Delaney probably as well in some of those ways too.
Yeah.
So
well, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Happy that you figured out that that's what will help ease anxiety, make you happier. It's like,
yeah,
totally within your grasp.
Yeah. And like not everybody has that relationship with social media, but I really do for whatever reason. And I think it is the perfectionist in me and the people pleaser and so I just kind of noticed that the days that I'm not on social media, I feel like I'm doing enough. Yeah. I feel happier. I feel more present. My focus is very different. I feel more clear. And I don't know. Some people really enjoy it. And it's not something I ever really enjoyed. I've tolerated it. And I started thinking about as far as like growth. I was not a social media person before I did stand up. I wasn't on social media. I think I had a Facebook account and MySpace before that.
Yeah.
To talk to friends. But I remember, I was not on it. And then at one of my first comedy festivals, they were trying to tag me in a photo on Instagram. And they're like, what's your handle? Where are you? I'm like, oh, I don't have one of those. And they're like, no, you need to have one of these if you ever want to like make it happen in this business. I was like, oh shit. Okay. I'll make it. Here I am now, you know? And I have to remember that my default was not doing this. And I feel like I need to kind of respect that part of myself. So yeah, it might be way fucking harder to run a business off of social media, some of these platforms, but I guess we'll see. I'll tell you guys how it goes.
Well, you could always like disable those accounts. You don't have to like delete the account itself. Yeah. You could just disable it or delete the app and then try. And if, because there's so many things, you know, where we come on the podcast and we're like, you guys, I'm doing this. This is like totally what I'm meant to do. And then you try it and you're like, eh, I thought it might be, but it's actually not.
Yeah.
So true. If you happen to try it and it's not what you thought it was, at least you have the fallback if you need it.
That's true. I always thought if you disabled it and it stayed disabled for a certain amount of time, they just delete it anyway. I don't know if that's true.
I think so, but I think it's a while.
Okay.
I could be wrong.
Yeah, maybe. That might be a happy medium. We'll all ease out of it, but yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's what I've noticed a lot the past several months, and now it's like, well, I have to put my mental health and stuff I have to make that a priority if I really want to show up okay and be able to do a lot of this work that I really want to be doing and continue to do.
Right.
Yeah.
How have you guys felt in quarantine in terms of like the relationships in your life? Like not necessarily just like Cam and Sam, but like your friends and family, do you feel like you've put more energy into those relationships than you did before? Because I feel like that's been a big change for me just in terms of like having more time, because usually my schedule before quarantine is like traveling constantly, tired a lot. And a lot of my best friends from home, we would maybe talk like once a month. It was very like much more spread out. And I know once things go back to normal, maybe it will be a little bit more like that, but I've really enjoyed kind of like remembering how important these people in your life are for more than just like a monthly phone call. Like, fuck, I'm so lucky. Like I have such great friends, like between you guys here in California and my friends from home, like, mm-hmm. I'm so lucky. And I just, I don't know, this quarantine stuff makes you realize like how short life is and all this stuff where I just want to, I don't know, pour more time into that. And like you said, Tay, like I think beyond spreading ourselves out just with other parts of our career, like parts of ourselves with our friends and family is important. Because, and I know that's been amplified for me, obviously now being alone and like being alone during quarantine does make you go, okay, like let me take stock of who I have in my life. And I just feel like really grateful for my friends and family for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Taylor, do you want to add on that?
Yeah. I feel similarly. I feel like everyone has more time, and the dread really motivates me to reach out to people I love more and tell them how much they mean to me.
Right.
Instead of just assuming they know. Mm-hmm. So I think that's definitely a silver lining. And again, I think, you know, everybody going through this pandemic together made a lot of people, you know, take stock of their priorities and their relationships, and a lot of people have time to do this work and learn about racial injustice and mm-hmm. you know, think about the toxic work environments they're in, or the people in their family who maybe haven't been exposed to certain information or certain resources. And I am grateful for this year. It has been very painful.
Yeah.
But I do think everybody's learning a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You can't learn while you're comfortable. You just, a lot of times you just can't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not in this, a lasting way.
Absolutely. Everything that's happened this year, boy, do you figure out what's important to you really fucking quick.
Yeah.
You really figure out what's important. It's 100% strengthened relationships with my family and friends, I would say. I think, I mean, not too long into like when this pandemic hit, I had a conversation with somebody in my family that I would never thought in a million years we would have that conversation. I had dreamt about that conversation and how it would go.
Wow. Yeah.
And it happened. Yeah. And it totally changed my life and our relationship. And so I think, yeah, it's weird. I don't know, because there's a lot of distractions that are no longer happening, you know, with things being closed. And I know that things are like reopening a little bit and stuff, but there was a lot that you couldn't do. And so it really made you focus on what you have, how you spend your time, all this stuff. And I feel like I've talked about this with both of you guys, just like on walks and stuff. We just like notice like birds and stuff more.
Yeah. We just like, ooh, flowers.
Oh, look at this beautiful flower. Look at that squirrel in the tree. Kelsey yeah. and I, there's a barking squirrel in our neighborhood. I'm like, what? Have you ever heard a squirrel bark before? This is incredible. Like all these, like, I feel like so present in nature, even more present than I was. And I am really appreciative of like the simple things. And just really like being, you know, just like doing those really simple things that I feel like are not usually the focus of most of our lives. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, I was just going to mention one more thing. I, as far as the growth thing, I obviously it's a fucking horrible time, but the silver lining for me is like, I'm so grateful that this has shown me, this has really demystified activism for me. And Taylor was kind of talking about it. I thought that going to protests, signing petitions, being involved, calling people, all this stuff, it, for some reason, because of my privilege, you know, it felt like a hard, out of reach thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And after incorporating it into like your daily life and taking a few minutes to do something, it's like, oh wow, this stuff has always been here. These resources have always been here. I just have not been paying attention. I've not been looking for it. And so I am grateful that this has definitely changed how I'm going to be involved going forward. And it's making me take a really good look at my businesses. And I'd rather that happen sooner, you know, rather than later, with how, as a system, basically how a foundation can be built to give back and, you know, from the get-go. And
yeah.
stuff. So
for sure,
that's a big takeaway I've had, obviously.
Yeah,
as we all have.
Yeah,
and I'm sure in coming episodes we'll continue to talk about like the things that we are learning from quarantine and changes happening in our lives, because even though things are starting to open up a little bit, life is still not normal yet. And but it did feel good to do just a full episode talking about these things that we're realizing.
Yeah. You know what I've also done a lot of, we've talked about on the show, it's really kind of asking myself like, what kind of person do I want to be? You know, like when you think of like, okay, if you're 100 years old, if we're all lucky enough to get there, what would you want people saying at your funeral? What would you want to say about your past self? Like, would you say, I was really proud of how I showed up in my life and what I did and how I contributed and the kind of impact I made? Or did I shy away from tough things? Did I stay in a little bubble?
Right.
Did I not take risks?
Yeah.
That has been pretty constant.
Yeah, for sure. All right.
Just a light episode for you guys.
We don't know what we're doing.
Yeah.
We're trying, but we don't know.
Be nice to us.
You know what would be nice? If you guys have, you know, your own recommendations of certain books, topics, anything that you'd like us to discuss, certain speakers you would like us to get on moving forward, especially obviously when it comes to racial justice education and things like that maybe we don't know about yet or we haven't mentioned on the show, please write into us. We want to hear from you. We want to know what feels hard to learn about and what we need to use our platform for. So selfhelplesspodcast@gmail.com. Feel free to write it in.
For sure.
Yes. And we do have an iTunes review, don't we? Here we go.
Yes, we do.
Here we go. All right. So this one is from Needham1533. The title is "This Is How I Live Now." I love Delaney, Kelsey, and Taylor's vulnerability, humility, and hilarity as they struggle to be better humans. It makes me feel like less of an idiot on my own self-help journey. Thank you so much. How perfect for this episode.
Jesus, for real.
Seriously.
Better humans is a perfect way.
Yeah.
describe our show and especially how we feel right now.
Yeah. Thank you to anyone who has taken the time to write a sweet iTunes review of the show. You guys are amazing, and it's nice to just connect with you in that way. So it's on iTunes if you want to do it. If you want to leave a rating and review, we read one on the show every episode. You guys know.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
we love you guys.
We really do. Thank you guys for listening. We hope you're doing all right.
Love
you. Love you. Bye.
Bye.